Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, please join me in welcoming to the show from the Continio Group, Brian Russell and Ron Crump. Good morning,
great.
Gentlemen.
Thanks for letting us join in this morning. So
morning,
it's
good morning.
Fun.
So what'd you learn in that last segment? There was a lot of conversation.
That was powerful.
There.
Very good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Molly knows a thing or two.
Yeah. So we, as a part of our company, we're a smaller company, and but I'm married to volunteerism as well. My wife is very big into that as a nonprofit, and so I was very interested in your segment because I live it every day.
Awesome.
So
that's great to hear.
Absolutely, and because of that, our company is very involved with our employees and teaming with other people very locally, like you're talking about. Smaller companies need to focus very locally, so, and that's been a huge success for us in drafting and finding talent. So,
yeah, just like Molly said,
awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, we live it every day. So, thank you.
I love
for that.
To see the numbers come to life in reality.
That's right. It's not a theory.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Brian and Ron, why don't you share a little bit about your work? How are you serving folks?
Well, we're Continio Group, and we are civil engineers. And people always say, "Well, what is that? I don't really understand." And it really is a function of what we do every day. We design everything that you don't see. So we design everything outside of a building. We design roads and bridges and infrastructure that's buried in the ground. So so a lot of people wonder what we do, and that's what we do. So,
are your clients typically the government?
We do private sector. Our company does in particular. So,
okay, so like if somebody was developing an area, they would need to connect to the sewer, and they need to
focus
connect
on real estate development as far as everything outside of the building footprint, everything around you. What we like to say jokingly is we're the ninjas of the design world. The big sexy is the building. Everybody looks at the building and thinks, oh, wow, that's gorgeous. Nobody wants to think about how you got there. Was it easy to get there? Did you have problems finding parking? Was there any issues with the infrastructure, the water, the sewer?
So they get all the glory, and you guys are the unsung heroes of the project?
I would say yes.
That's right. Yeah. We're kind of the offensive linemen of the
right.
group. So, but yeah, so, you know, we focus on private sector projects and corporate projects. So we have a lot of clients that do a lot of really large projects that are like mixed use developments. For
right. So there's a lot of that live work play where there's
yes.
like a giant
mm-hmm.
building. There mm-hmm. could be a movie theater. There could mm-hmm. be restaurants.
Yes,
it is. The industry shift is really driven towards a community style.
Right.
The jurisdictions have become so much more community focused, and it's really brought in some very interesting elements into the design world.
Mm-hmm. And did it change your business of how you kind of do what you do?
Absolutely. So, you know, with the onset of online marketing and sales nowadays, you know, retail is kind of going away in a lot of ways. And so our business is driven on new construction.
Right.
And so the brick and mortar type projects now are really geared toward two things. They're really service oriented things. They're hospitals and gas stations and the service types of
right.
things that you would do. And the other is very destination oriented. And so that's kind of how the two projects kind of come to be for us. So,
how do the developers find you to choose you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're a service-oriented business, and so it's people-to-people. And so we, if they know you and like you, they use you. So we get out there and face-to-face.
Our product truly is our people mm-hmm. because in the end, the design world, they need somebody who has their best interest in mind, who's able to negotiate the permits with the jurisdictions, as I mentioned.
Right, so that's part of what your responsibility is?
It would be, yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we've had a shift over the past 10 years with the economy. Downturn, there was kind of a brain drain that happened. So you have a lot of baby boomers that are kind of timing out of the industry, and a lot of people didn't go into engineering and a lot of these other design issues that we deal with every day. So now there's really young people in the industry and very old people, and so like us, so we've been at it for 25 years. And so, but what has happened is now where we used to would just purely be designing and obtaining permits and that type of thing. Now, there's been a reluctance in the industry to really bring on a lot of staff as far as the development management process.
So they outsource?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they outsource it. And so that's been a big boon for us with kind of the downsizing of some of the way the design elements are with retail shrinking and that sort of thing. The program management piece has really started to blossom, I guess, where they hire us to come in and help manage the process from the design and the entitlement process through construction.
So now your responsibility then is you're a vendor for the developer, and then you have to find the talent?
Yes, absolutely. So we
so have, that's a slight shift as well, right?
Absolutely. So we used to, the developer would have a staff that would go in and solicit for construction services, architectural services, right, and that sort of thing. Now we come in and fill that void for them. And so we go out and solicit materials and people and all the resources that it takes to build a facility.
Now, are you primarily here in Atlanta or Georgia, or are you all over the place?
So we're located in Decatur, Georgia, and it's our backyard, our hometown, and that's where we like to be.
Is that where your work?
Yes.
It takes place as well?
Yes. And so we're registered in 22 states as professional engineers, and we're working in about half of those states right now.
So how do you work in those states? Like, how do you have resources in all those states?
So, you know, the program management and design piece can be done, you know, here, within the confines, right, of an office space, and then we position people out on the specific projects.
So you take people from here and then you send them to those states, or you have relationships in all those different states?
We have relationships with other people, like-minded people like ourselves.
So how do you find those people? Is that
word
hard?
Of mouth and, yeah.
Casting a wide net.
Because they have to be aligned with you philosophically, talent-wise, right?
Absolutely. So it's very trust-oriented business. I mean, you know, when people are spending millions of dollars, right, based on what you say every day. So it's a very trust-oriented business. So, you know, we tend to go word of mouth and find the people that other people trust, that we trust.
So now, how has technology impacted your industry? Is it, I mean, I would think now with the advent of the computing power that's at everybody's disposal, now projects that couldn't even be imagined before can now be built, right? Because of modeling, they can.
Well, that's a great question. We have now all these excess tools at our disposal,
right,
and everything that was once a drawn out hand calculation, of course, is now being pumped through a computer.
And tried in a million different ways to fail, and then they find the one way that works, and now you go and build that pool that sticks out the side of that building.
That's exactly right. We've got one hanging off the side of the
mountain. They couldn't possibly do that before, right? Like the human brain, you couldn't have just sit there with a pen,
right,
and paper,
mm-hmm,
and figured that out, right?
It would certainly take you a whole lot longer, and that's the drafting elements, and we look forward to the future with all the new 3D and virtual reality aspects that are coming into play.
It's almost anything you can imagine.
Absolutely.
It's almost possible, right?
It is, and you can see it real time on the property. So anything that we can dream up, we can walk out with an iPad and hold it up, and we can see the designs in three dimensions out on the property.
So using augmented reality?
Augmented reality, yes. That's the new...
connected via GPS satellite, you know exactly where you are on that site, and you're looking around and saying, this is where my building is going.
So an air light on the wall, they could probably make it come on.
Really?
We've had it there for 6 months. We think it looks great, but we can't make it come on.
But so that's the thing. Now you can go with a client, and they can walk the land, mm-hmm, and then see the thing,
exactly,
what it's going to look like. And then probably when the thing's built, it looks like what...
The rendering capabilities,
right,
have just come light.
It's
years.
Not like a little model that you're putting on the table saying, hey, that's where this is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, the pressure we get is everybody thinks we have the easy button.
Right. Well, I saw it. I just saw it here in the iPad. And so why is it taking 6 months to build this thing? I'm confused. So then you're the boots on the ground where you're...
So balancing everybody's expectations and making sure that the jurisdictions understand and the municipalities and the community's involvement and, of course, the developer who's putting the money in.
Right.
Everybody has to come to the table together, understand what is going to happen, how it's going to happen, and what it really does take to make this happen.
So that's a lot of your time is managing expectations?
I'd say that's 99% of our time.
99%.
Yeah, so we're very, it's, you know, construction has been, referred to as ants on an anthill, and it still is. And so you have to have a lot of communication in order to make that anthill work. And so, you know, with things like augmented reality and a lot of the other types of technology that are coming online, it's really making it a lot easier to resolve issues in real time out at construction that used to cause a lot of money, which is time and delays on projects. So, so the augmented reality is the single biggest thing that's impacted us so far.
In terms of that, accelerates the time. Because the people can see it, it's no longer on paper or in their imagination. They're actually seeing it so they can go, you know what, I don't like that way. Can we make this way?
It's become extremely helpful in that because we find that something I consider straightforward, it may not be to somebody else and vice versa.
Right.
You know, not everybody's brain
Didn't
is wired
just-
the same.
Do something like this. You drove that car at the place.
Right. We went to an agency that does augmented reality, and they had...
you are here.
A Porsche. And then you had the iPad, and then you just pointed, and then there's the Porsche. It's like right there. To the point of you can see the grain in the leather. Like, you can zoom in, and it's there. Mm-hmm. And you can then go, okay, go, and then now it's driving through the
and then you're like, I don't like yellow, I want red.
Right, and it's like, bam, snap your finger.
Yeah.
So you do that too. You go, I don't want that road to be there, move it over there. And you just press a button, and it's like, moves over there, right?
Exactly. That's the big idea there with that is being able to hold an iPad up to a wall that has been completed in a building, but then go, oh, wow, we missed something. And you can hold it up and see what's in the wall versus what was designed.
So you can kind of go layers deep in the wall.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great modeling software. The Civil 3D connects to Revit and all that ties together to just allow us to see the whole picture.
And then the client can make a decision like, hey, if we move this, then this is a ramification of this. So you're going to write that check,
Precisely.
You know, or we're going to just deal with it.
Yeah, and so all those prices are loaded into the software. So as the building models are built, the price for glass or the price for whatever material you're building with is already preloaded. So as you make these changes, it tells you in real time kind of what some of these cost impacts would be.
And then to the point of if this was a brick building, you could tell me how many bricks.
Absolutely.
Right to the,
absolutely.
And be right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right? It automatically keeps up with material schedules and things like that.
But that's
as well,
crazy, so. Right? Like that's, I mean, when you started, you can't imagine that could exist, right?
Absolutely.
No, yeah.
Right? This absolutely. Is like science.
That used to be days
it's science
and days
fiction.
Of somebody.
This is science fiction
it
compared
is.
To when you started, right?
Absolutely. And I'm just, I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Right. So you're embracing it. You're kind of leaning into the technology, your firm?
100%.
Absolutely. So, you know, us being civil engineers, we design everything that's under the ground. And so that's the single biggest risk to a developer is not knowing what's under the ground.
Right.
And so a lot of these technologies are coming online to let us kind of peer into that. And so check off the items on the old risk register where
right.
you can.
And you can minimize a lot of the risk.
Absolutely.
And that's the value you guys bring to the table, right?
Absolutely.
Now, what's your... kind of take on how the economy is going? Are you bullish, bearish? Is this time to kind of go for it, or should we be cautious?
You know, I hate
cautious?
To even speculate on the economy piece of it because in the end, it depends on which side you listen to on what
right.
day. For us, the future really is more of a question of how will development change and what will our needs be in the future. They are trying to automate us out to some degree, I guess. And
oh, engineers can be outsourced.
Absolutely. You know, we're fearful of AI, right? That's what's going on right now with us.
There might be a software program that replaces Continia.
Absolutely. So, but no, you know, I think locally here, I don't see anything changing. I mean, we're construction is continuing to boom. There's so many corporations moving here, and a lot of we're centrally located in the southeast, and so the distribution facilities that are coming online now, I think, are going to only continue to grow.
So now, what industries are the ones you look at to see if if things are going your way. So is it construction? Is it development? Are you looking to see more apartments being built or more, warehouses being built? Like, what are your kind of indicators?
Absolutely. It's the availability of money, basically, out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So we talk to a lot of people, are they funding projects? What type of, capital investments are they making out in the marketplace? That, and along with, kind of a more passive indicator is the number of permits that are issued out in communities in a given
I just count the cranes.
Well, that's great too. So, yeah,
there's a lot of cranes.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, the ones that have cranes have already passed.
They don't need you anymore.
That's right.
So you need who's ordering cranes? So, and now for you, what do you need more of? Are you always looking to hire now? You're trying to attract younger people, I guess, to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's our single biggest challenge that we have because of the way the economy was previously. So it's really hard to find talent. So,
and that's one of the reasons why we embrace technology so much. We find that the new talent really does want to be part of the community. They want to engage in all the new interesting things. They want to see
They want to build that monument, right? They want to be part of projects that they're proud of, that they put on a resume and say that I helped build that.
Well, right? And that's actually one of the best parts about civil engineering for me personally. That's one of the things that drove me to it, was everything we do becomes a very tangible reality.
Right. You can point to it and say, I helped do that.
That was me. And the reason we are considered a first world country is purely because of what civil engineers have brought to this country. And
so now when you're working with young people, are you finding them all over? Are you leaning into like the local universities? Like, where do you find them?
All over. A lot of word of mouth still. So we go to a lot of the universities. We have about half our staff is probably from Georgia Tech, and then we have a sprinkle from everywhere else. So we love Georgia Tech.
So like, how would you work with the Georgia Tech? Like, do you do internships? Do you involved in some of their clubs or some of their organizations to give them job shadowing opportunities? Like, how do you work with the university to, kind of vet the talent?
Exactly that. We do know several of the professors, myself an alum, and so because of that, we hear from these professors who they think are the next rising stars. Mm-hmm. We focus on that. We do have internship programs. We give some of these outreach style programs.
Right. So now do you sponsor networking events, or you got to just stay in front of them, right? You got to be kind of.
Absolutely. So we make the round, we make the circuit to the different universities within sort of the metro area and do that as well.
Is civil engineering, is that a sexy major for Georgia Tech?
Absolutely not. At Tech, it might be. I don't know. But
are there civil engineer startups? Like, there's a big startup community at Georgia Tech.
No, I doubt that. So
now what can you get them younger? Is there a path? Like, if they're good at a certain thing, they might be a good civil engineer?
Well, that's what I'm so encouraged by with the advent of STEM in the schools coming online. It's you're starting to see a lot more of that. So, the next big boon in construction is going to be robotics, and STEM and a lot of these other things are really steering kids toward those types of things. And the spinoff of that is they're very good with technology. And so we're heavily technology related in how we produce things. So STEM is the single biggest thing that's coming up for us in the elementary and high schools. Yeah.
Now, what about any opinions about like autonomous cars? How does that impact roads and things like that in your world?
Absolutely. There's lots of discussion right now about how those things should happen and how the roads should be designed relative to those things.
Because it would be different than if a human's driving than if a machine's driving, right?
Absolutely.
Aren't there sensors?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the safeguards that are out there to kind of course correct for human error can go away. I mean, costs can go down. There's all these different impacts that can
And
that can
Stone's
happen.
Working on an invention that charges vehicles as they drive on the roads.
So excellent.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things happening. So this is an exciting time for you guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another thing that's going on right now is there's companies out there that are designing different things for roads can actually generate power. So I know in France they've mm-hmm. installed the first highway that's solar powered. The pavement is, and so it generates power as you're driving over it.
Wow. So you're bullish about Atlanta. You're still hanging in there. Civil engineer is still a thing.
Absolutely. It's still there.
Until somebody invents some software. Yeah. And then you're busy, right?
We are. We stay very busy, and right now is a great economic time. We were fortunate enough. We've been in business since 2009. We decided to...
After that downturn, you're like, hey, this is an opportunity.
A lot of people thought we were crazy for leaving paying jobs to start our own company, but at that time, we saw that that was the way to ride the economic wave back up.
Because you're optimists. Now, for you... how can we help? What do you need more? Like, tell us your perfect prospect. Is it a developer that's doing what kind of work?
Yes, if there's a corporate client out there that has reoccurring projects, we do a lot of. So if they have a capital improvement program that's out there, we'd like to help them manage it. And if there's design involved, we'd like to do the design portions of it for them.
And then what kind of things are they building?
Yeah, they would be building really any type of building. So it can be any type of use. The use is not as relevant to a civil engineer as an architect. So as long as we can get people to it and get utilities and infrastructure to it, then we've done our job. And so, but corporate clients that have recurring program capital improvement programs or a private developer that has wants to invest in capital and land.
And do you do any trade show work? Do you like get the word out through that?
Yeah, some we do. We used to be really involved in ICSC, which was the International Council of Shopping Center Developers,
right.
But we're still involved with that.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more meaningful conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you? I have a website?
Yeah, it's www.tcg.engineer.
Wow, good URL. How'd you pull that off? That was some foresight there.
We're nerds at heart.
Well, Brian and Ron, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.